Hey everyone, welcome back to Google Workspace Recap, your number one source for everything Workspace by the Tech Geeks Network. My name is Jesse Nolan, my co-host is Steve Larson, and we're here to help you keep up. Happy almost Passover to all of my Jewish listeners out there, and happy Easter to everyone who celebrates your almost Easter, to keep them the same there. We have a Slash Showdown episode scheduled to be released this Friday, even though I'll be offline for Passover, so keep an eye out for that, as it's going to be a good one. I'm having a lot of fun editing it. Also, I'm wearing my NASA meatball shirt today in honor of the Artemis II crewed mission that was just announced. For anybody who's interested, if you missed that, go and check it out. First time back to the moon in, what, like 7 years? Steve, how's it going?
Great. Just went to the Sox Open. Baseball season is in full swing.
I'd like to clarify, as a New Englander and a Red Sox fan, you mean White Sox?
Yes.
Just say, yes. Go on, proceed.
There you go. Was there yesterday, joined some tailgating and some pre and post game festivities as well. Unfortunately lost, but still good, good day at the stadium.
So that's, I haven't been going to on a game here in forever.
Yeah, I go pretty
like
much every year to the home opener.
I remember you went last year and the year before.
Yeah, I went to 20 plus home openers in a row. The first one I went to was at the old Comiskey, and I went for about 20 plus years, and then missed a couple when I was in Europe. Flew back for a few of them, the first, I think, three or four after I moved over there. Yeah.
You get really good seats, or you just go and tailgate and who cares?
The seats are, outfield seats. Yeah. So center field kind of thing. It's good.
Nice.
There's a group of about 50 people go. So my uncle's been going for
the whole bunch.
Yeah, my uncle's been going for 54 years in a row to the opener. When COVID happened and everything got shut down, when they didn't have people in the stadium, that was his 50th year that he would have been going.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So yeah, his
that sucks.
His wife is a Cubs fan and also Catholic. He's not Catholic and a Sox fan. So, you know, as in terms of a, you know, compromise, they got married in a Catholic church and had their wedding reception at Comiskey Park. So, you know, balanced out both religions there.
Okay. Beautiful.
Yeah.
To each their own, I suppose.
Yeah. There you go.
That's funny. Wow, so it's a real tradition for you that it's not even necessarily you've been going for a bunch of years. It's a family tradition.
Right. Yeah.
I started
a year before my uncle did, so I would have had him beat if I'd been able to attend every game, every opener. But
sounds like they need to make a movie about your uncle. Feed him pitch for the Red Sox, you know?
Something like that, yeah. Let's get into the updates this week. We've got quite a good amount of stuff happening here. A few updates, some stuff in the news, new version of Chrome is out. You know, of course, lots of AI talk still in the news. So we will cover that yet again. So let's jump into those headlines. So silent releases, we had three of those this week. Full mouse support now available for Google Sheets and Slides on Android. A lot of Android updates, mobile device updates here in silent releases over the last few weeks and months, actually. One that I think, kind of warrants an actual full announcement, but they just put it in the end of week recap, is that ability to move folders from My Drive to Share Drive. That was announced a while back in beta, and it is fully released now. There's multi-instance support now available for Google Keep on large screen Android devices. And then the updates that we saw over the week was that Connected Sheets for Looker is now available for all Looker-hosted instances. There's a beta launching here to manage working locations with the Calendar API. Admins can now install chat apps for use in direct messages. And then finally, you can find files quicker with search chips in Google Drive. And then, as I said, Chrome 1.12 is coming out. I saw some really weird article about getting rid of version numbers on Chrome. It's like, I don't even know where this article came from. I don't even know. Yeah, it was like a nonsense article. It's like, of course you need to know what version you're at on the releases. Like, it was a weird article.
You know, there's only that. Windows 11, and there will never be another version of Windows 10. So,
yeah.
And yet, Windows 12 has been announced. But, I agree with you. version numbers are required here.
So some good, some interesting updates here for admins to make note of in the 1.12 release, and then you know, a nice, an interesting up and upcoming admin console change as well that we'll talk about. So that we see some new Chrome browser insights are coming out, some device token management policy for device token deletion, and the new policies in the admin console, of course, are some of the admin console updates. And then the interesting one that is upcoming is the risk assessment card. So this is going to be something in the admin console that allows admins to see the CR excavator score and the Spin AI score on extensions. So that is pretty cool that they're bringing that directly into the admin console for you. And then lots of news updates here. Another very busy week in the news announcements. So Google Cloud blog here is talking about Google Cloud, or Google chip design team benefits from the move to Google Cloud. There is also a past event here. The Google Data Cloud and AI Summit had happened
this
recently.
Week.
Yeah, and I think you'll probably be able to watch all of those on record
on
versions
demand.
Of that, so you can on demand. Yeah, Verge article here talking about the need for external sunshine of the spotless mind for Gmail. It's interesting.
Eternal.
Oh, the eternal. Oh yeah, eternal. There we go. What did I say?
External.
Oh yeah, I got it next. Eternal sunshine of the spotless mind for Gmail. And then another Verge article here about ChatGPT data and how Google denies Bard was trained with ChatGPT data. There's a another Google article here about generative AI tools for better productivity, and a 9to5 article here about new Google Photos movie editor for Chrome OS is rolling out. Yeah, let's see, we have a couple more Verge. This is actually another 9to5 one. Google starts letting the public test generative AI in Gmail and Docs. So coming to, I think, to Workspace, right? Workspace users are starting to leverage some of the generative AI.
This isn't even alpha. This is trusted tester very early.
Yeah.
It says public, but it's like 12 people, probably. Yeah.
Another Verge article here, Google announcing AI features in Gmail, Docs, and more to rival Microsoft. So complementing that 9to5 article. Ars Technica talking about Google Assistant might be doomed. Division reorganizes to focus on Bard. There we go.
Bum, bum, bum.
And then Google Cloud blog article here. Google's named the leader in Forrester Data Security Platforms Wave. Okay. So there we have it. Let's jump into that first update, which is that full mouse support is now available for Google Sheets slides on Android. So a very, very small animated image here. Sorry about that, Jesse. Not going to like that one. But, you know, gives us a little example of what is possible here. So some full mouse support while using Docs on Android devices that mirrors the mouse behavior on the web. That is rolling out now to rapid release domains. And scheduled release domains, we'll see that starting the 12th of April next week, looks like. And then, yeah, this is the update that I kind of felt probably should have been fully announced, but it just got a little mention here in the recap post, is that ability to move folders from My Drive to Shared Drives. And that beta was announced a while back, back in January, and it is now now being released to everyone that has, of course, access to Shared Drives. A rollout on that one is complete already for rep release domains. And then scheduled release domains, we'll start to see that also starting next week on the 11th of April. So if you are on scheduled release, you'll start to see that next week. And finally, in the kind of silent releases here, multi-instance support is now available for Google Keep on large screen Android devices. So this is just kind of following on from a previous announcement where Google Keep notes were available on the home screen for Android devices. This is the introduction of the ability to open a second instance of the Keep app on the same device. So having them side by side to help better work with that information as your innkeep. And then let's see here. Let's get into the rest of the updates that were announced. So the first one being that Connected Sheets for Looker is now available for all Looker-hosted instances. And this one does get a nice big animated image here. So very easy to see what's happening with this one. So this is, they're expanding upon the ongoing improvements of the Looker instances and using Connected Sheets. So this will allow you, it's going to make Connected Sheets available for Looker instances hosted on non-Google Cloud providers like AWS and Azure. So if you need to connect into that data, it's now possible if you don't have it hosted directly on Google, but somewhere else. And rollout for this one, this is available to all users, and only let's see, the rollout pace is already out now for all users, but availability of course is limited to certain instances, so it's not available on the legacy G Suite Basic and Business. It is available to users with personal Google accounts, and then pretty much any of the other workspace additions that was not excluded there. And next is the beta that is launching to manage working locations with the Calendar API. So this is available through the developer preview program, and you can head over there and get access to it if you would like to start playing around with that Calendar API. I haven't looked to see if it is in GAM yet. I haven't noticed that. I didn't take a look. But I'm sure it will be coming to GAM pretty soon, if not already. I'm going to actually have a look here and see some of the updates in the RSS feed. As we go through the news, I'll see if I catch anything in the GAM updates regarding the Calendar API. So this availability is going to give you, let's see here, it works with the user's working location values, so it helps you analyze the flow and volume of people through physical campuses and help adapt on-site resources that, to the needs of your employees. And the write support for the API is expected to become available in Q3 of 23. And this, at the moment, looks like it's just read access at the moment. And as I said earlier, you have to apply through the Google Workspace Developer Preview Program to get access to that. And while you'll be able to use the API, the working locations feature is only available for eligible workspace additions. And those additions would be everyone but Workspace Essentials, Business Starter, Enterprise Essentials, Frontline, and G Suite Basic customers. So it'll be available to anyone else. And next, admins can now install chat apps for use in direct messages. So just making it easier to deploy those applications to your users and integrate any kind of applications that you might need within chat. So you can deploy those to an entire domain, OU, or a group of users. And if you are looking to use this feature now, it is going to be, or it has already started rolling out on the 29th of March to both wrap release and scheduled release domains on an extended rollout, potentially longer than 15 days, and not available to nonprofits, oddly. And not available to personal Google accounts, of course, because you don't have an admin console, so that kind of makes sense. Don't know why they have to mention that, but they mentioned it.
For those watching me squinting on the YouTube side of things, it's another tiny screenshot. Teeny, teeny, yes. Tiny.
Yeah.
Hard to see.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised it's not going to be available to nonprofits. It's an odd one not to include this release. It's like, Who makes these decisions? I'd like to know.
Not us, all unfortunately.
Right. Yeah. And then finally, the ability to find files quicker with search chips in Google Drive. Oh, one thing that I've noticed in the new Drive interface that is that behaves differently is that when you add like a search string to an existing search, it puts it in quotes, and then it's you know searching for that exact exact combination of words, and then of course when you're looking for just any of those words, you're not getting really any results. So the new Drive search is a bit problematic because of that.
Huh.
Yeah. So if you do, I'm trying to think of how to recreate it here. What was I doing in here? I forget how to recreate it, but I do have a recording of it somewhere where I was putting the word string in quotes on a subsequent kind of query when there was already data there, and it was it was returning no results because that unique combination of words doesn't exist in any of the documents. I'll see if I can find a recording of that and then explain it. Maybe they fixed it. It had been happening for me for a few weeks, during the new UI changes. Maybe
right.
They figured it out. Maybe they fixed it.
Could have been a glitch. Try it again. If you can get a screen recording, I'll throw it in next week's show.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find that recording. Talk about it. But this is the search chip capabilities in Google Drive. So being able to more quickly and easily filter the data that you're getting in those search results in Drive, and it will help you filter by things, criteria like type, file type, owner, last modified date, and makes it just a little bit easier to narrow down those search results. Rollout pace for this one has started already on the 30th of March for rapid release domains on an extended rollout, potentially longer than 15 days. And then scheduled release domains, we'll start to see this on a gradual rollout starting in Q2 of 2023. So the longest gap I've ever seen, I think, between a rapid release and a scheduled release, where they don't even give you the date.
Big change. So.
Yeah.
And so massive screenshot GIF here. So
there you go. Yay. Yep.
We call out the bad ones. We should call out the good ones, too.
Yeah, this is going to be available to all Workspace customers and legacy G Suite Basic and Business, and also available to personal Google accounts. Great. And then next, some improvements in Chrome in the admin console in version 1.12. So there is new Chrome browser insights. So in 1.12, a new browser that needs attention. Insight cards allows IT admins to quickly identify browsers that have a pending Chrome update, or browsers that are inactive, and browsers that have recently enrolled. So that will give you a little overview there of your Chrome browser usage.
Didn't we hear about this one already?
We might have heard about it. I think, because when we had Alex on, he might have covered bunch of these. So now we're just starting to see it. Because I think he was looking at, we were talking a lot on the roadmap items with Chrome in that episode. So,
folks, this is why you should check out our Chrome browser and Chrome OS updates. I'll link the latest video over here. Here. I don't remember where it shows up. Here, I think.
Another update here for the admins is that device token management policy for device token deletion. Interesting one there. That's just a policy there to allow CBCM administrators to delete the device token on the endpoint device when deleting a browser from the managed browser list in the admin console. So when the new delete token value is selected and a browser is deleted from the managed browser list, the browser will automatically re-enroll in the CBCM the next time it's online, or if the enrollment token was not deleted on the device and the enrollment token is still active. The default value remains to invalidate the device token. So added functionality there. And then four new policies here in the admin console. Privacy Sandbox Site Enabled Ads Enabled is one of them. Next one is Privacy Sandbox Prompt Enabled, Privacy Sandbox Ad Topics Enabled, and then finally Privacy Sandbox Ad Measurement Enabled. So those are a few new ones that you will see in the Ammo Console there. And then the one that I said, which was coming soon, is that risk assessment card. So in the extension details page, it will show third-party risk scores for public extensions. So that is that the CR excavator value, and it will also have a link to it. So you can click into more details. And then also Spin AI has a score for that Chrome extension as well. And again, that links out probably to the report that Spin AI is providing on that extension. So greater insight into what your users are using from an extension perspective, and gives you a little bit more info on what those extensions are doing.
So that is always welcome.
Yeah, that wraps up the updates for this week. Over to you, Jesse, for the news.
All right. So a bunch of big updates here. I don't know how many of you know this, but Google doesn't just make software. They also manufacture their own chips, microchips, etc. And that's going to be very important very soon, or even right now, because they actually invented some of the infrastructure that enables AI to be trained and run on. And the team that is behind a lot of that chip development at Google wasn't running on, well, Google Cloud. And a lot of teams inside of Google do not run on Google Cloud. And so there's a development team inside of Google that's called the Alphabet Cloud team, and they are responsible for helping teams within Google move off of proprietary internal tools and start utilizing the tools that they've built for everyone else, because they are best in class and so on and so forth. So with the chip design team, they had a challenge where they were working and trying to trying to develop new chips, but they were trying to use cloud tools, and they ended up having multiple environments, and it was just a mess. And what this article goes into is an interesting story about how they, and I have another article that I can link with this as well that provides a little bit more information and context, but essentially they worked with the internal Alphabet Cloud team to completely move over to using Google Cloud. And now Google's cloud chips, processor chips, are all developed inside of Google Cloud, which is very meta, not Facebook meta, the previous definition of meta. Nice picture of a bunch of TPU V2s running in the server center here. We don't very often get looks inside of the data center here, so always interesting to see when they include those. And maybe I'll just steal this and add it to the background of SAS Showdown or Workspace Recap looks, here. That looks like a good one, to have instead of the other ones that we have that are just generic that I got off the internet. Although I think the one actually in our background is a Google data center. I'm pretty sure it is one of them. The SAS Showdown one is not. Incidentally, I ended up using a data center for both of them because they're both cloudy, so cloud-based shows. But anyway, this is an interesting article, something you don't often get to see on what happens behind the scenes in terms of infrastructure and development and how all that happens. And there's a little video here from the Google Cloud chip design and development team. So go and take a look at that. All right, an event that occurred this week virtually was actually a bit of a big one. That's where a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about in the next couple of articles came out of is the Google Data Cloud and AI Summit. And this aired on March 29th and went right into the keynote of what's new with generative AI on Google Cloud. So if you're interested in what's coming for Workspace and Google Cloud, you should definitely take a look at the whole series here. They have two tracks, one on AI innovation and one on data essentials, which goes into what's new in each of the different products there and product suites. As it says here, the digital event has ended, but you can still view the sessions on demand. So there's keynotes, 14 breakout sessions, demos, and learning resources. And of course, it is free. So head over to the link in the show notes to view that. This is a opinion piece from The Verge. We need eternal sunshine of the spotless mind for Gmail. And they struggle from a problem that many of us probably struggle from as well, is that your inbox is likely a you know, terrible nuclear wasteland of just tons and tons of emails. I mean, mine, I'm inbox zero every day. So, no, I'm just kidding. That's not reality. I try for it, but it doesn't work. But certainly some of my email accounts are just overloading and exploding, and I'm sure many of you have them as well, promotional email spam, and so on and so forth. And what they are saying here is that they would like to see a feature that would automatically unsubscribe you from mailing lists to get, you know, 10% off your first purchase, etc., things like that. They would look for messages that you open repeatedly but never replied to, and essentially just make it a little bit more automated to be able to just remove a lot of the junk and random crap that we get in our inboxes. And Google, you know, spam is pretty good at this. Oh, shoot, I just set off my display here. So now it's going to give me a funky reply once it stops listening to me talking, which it's still doing. So that should be interesting to hear. But anyway, it is difficult with the amount of emails that we get on a daily basis. And on the work side, certainly a lot of these are sales emails, and sometimes you want to see them, sometimes you don't. So it's really a difficult challenge. And I don't know if it's something that Google could necessarily automate, but a lot of their categorization is done and is pretty good. But personally, because I almost have a fear of not seeing all of the things that I need to see, I don't use any of those categorizations in my inbox. I just want to see all the emails as they come in. But I also spend a lot of time wrangling my inbox. So a little bit more AI automation as AI gets bigger and more powerful here certainly would be nice. You were going to say something, Steve, or no?
Nope. No, nothing from my end. Oh, well, one thing, but it was about the calendar API and GAM. I did find out that was included in version 6.52.08. So that has been added. The working location properties has been added to event field name. That is Ross's version.
Sweet. All right, a little bit of controversy. Good job. Over with Bard. Google denies Bard was trained with ChatGPT data. And I'm going, didn't they help invent ChatGPT? Like, wasn't Google on that original? All right, fine. You guys want to fight about this? You can fight about this. The Information is reporting that the company is so interested in changing the fortunes of its AI chatbots, it's forcing its DeepMind division to help the Google Brain team beat OpenAI with a new initiative called Gemini. And that is something that we're going to go into a little bit here in other articles. But what's happening here, to sort of tie all these together, is that Google has two different AI teams within the company. And one is DeepMind, which has been around for a long time, and the other is Google Brain. And they hate each other, apparently, from what I've read. They are not friends. They have been rivals for a long time, and now they're being forced to work together. And one of the things that came out in the news from the Information and from others we're talking about this week is that Google is accused of using OpenAI's ChatGPT data. There's a website that is called ShareGPT where people put information about, basically put up questions and responses from ChatGPT. For people to see and share and I guess collaborate on and or commiserate or find entertaining. But essentially, they're saying that Google was scraping said ShareGPT site and then using that data to make Bard better. Maybe. Don't know if that's the case. Not the case. Could have just been something that Bard found and scraped. Could have been something that they were just trying to get ahead, and so they did it anyway. Google is firmly and clearly denying that the data is used. Quote, Bard is not trained on any data from ShareGPT or ChatGPT. And that's according to spokesperson Chris Pappas. Pappas declined to answer whether Google had ever used ChatGPT data to train Bard in the past. Quote, unfortunately, all I can share is our statement from yesterday. So again, Google was on the team that helped build OpenAI and, you know, was part of that. And yeah, where these data sets are coming from is going to be an ongoing discussion and an ongoing issue and is challenging because there's a lot of issues with copyright and especially as you get into, you know, artwork and generative images and where they're pulling from and whether or not that's public access, is problematic. Is it possible that Google and ChatGPT use similar data sets to be trained? Probably. Did Google use ChatGPT's data specifically to catch up? I don't know. Again, I've theorized on this show in the past. Google's pretty far ahead in this, you know, in terms of what their capabilities are outside of just a chatbot. So I really don't think that they needed to go that route. But then again, you know, it was a code red, and they're working to release all of this stuff as soon as possible. So quite frankly, I have no idea. Interesting things to think about. Speaking of Bard, Bard is coming to Workspace, and there is a new homepage for generative AI in Google Workspace, workspace.google.com/solutions/AI, which I imagine if you just go to Workspace's homepage, you can click on solutions and then AI to get here as well. But it says here, see how we're making Workspace even more helpful with AI. And this is a lot of the announcements on what you can do with generative AI in Google Workspace, and shows us off this little video here. And really, it looks magical. And this is their answer to Microsoft integrating ChatGPT-4 as well as what are the other ones? The DALL-E, the image generation, and some others into the Microsoft Office suite to be able to help you create things. And so over on the Workspace side here, they're making writing easier with the help of AI in Workspace. So, and this is the way that some of us in the Workspace have been using Bard and even ChatGPT thus far. It gives an example, help me write, which is what, you know, you can put there, a job post for a regional sales rep. I've used it for, salary comps, and obviously, you know, double check any of the answers that it gives you just to be sure that it's within the right ballpark at least. But really, really fantastic at helping to just expand a lot of data that would take you a lot of time to do research on that you no longer have to spend that time doing it. It'll also allow you to convert meeting notes into an email in Gmail. So you're in a meeting, you're taking a whole bunch of notes, you want to dump them into an email, you can magically do that with Bard/Gen AI. Of course, it says here, these features look cool. How can I get access? And it says, we're currently testing these new experiences with a group of trusted testers, as I said at the top of the episode here, starting in the United States. We'll add more people to the new experience over time as we learn from early usage and establish a tight loop of customer feedback to help improve the experience. So anybody over on the Gen AI team who's listening, we would love to be a part of that loop of customer feedback. Get in touch, info@tabgeeks.com or on Twitter, and we'd be happy to help give you feedback on what we think about how well this works. I certainly cannot wait for GenApps to be writing my emails for me. There was a meme that I saw going around that showed somebody using a generative app to take a short sentence in an email and expand it into a full long email and then sending it off. And the person on the other side using AI to summarize said whole long email. So basically all of our emails in short order are just going to be robots talking to each other and summarizing and writing things for us. So I guess that is something to look forward to. But you know, the biggest thing for me with all of these is the fact that it's going to be taking away a lot of the manual labor that needs to be done. That is, of course, presuming that we can have these put out accurate information, which at this point, so-so. All right. Next, we've talked about this before. Google Photos has been putting together a movie editor for Chrome OS, for Chromebooks, and it is now rolling out. So this was tested last year, and this is something that, you know, Chrome has not had a movie editor for a very, very, very long time. There was one that came out shortly, a short while ago. I'm blanking on the name of it now. I can try and look it up, but it was in, we did talk about it in one of our previous episodes, but now Google Photos natively can do it here. So once it is live, you'll be able to create movies from the Google Photos Android app on Chromebooks, and you can launch the new experience by searching movie in the Chrome OS launcher or by opening the application, and on the left you can select creations, create new, and then add movie, and you'll be able to work on a movie. And I think this is going to be huge for you know, students and teachers and a lot of people that are only using Chromebooks because they really haven't had access to any kind of a movie editor at all, and video creation is pretty huge these days.
Are you thinking of Picasa?
No, dude. Picasa. Wow, throwback. Yeah, old school.
I mean, that was old.
Whew. Yeah, man. I used to use Picasa all the time. No, there was, I'll find it. 1 second. Lenza, I think. Lenza, is that, am I crazy in that? Lenza, no.
Okay.
Hold on.
It was a Google tool?
No.
Oh, I thought it was a Google product.
No. It wasn't a Google tool. It was...
okay. That's what threw me off.
It was... shoot. I'll find it and I'll throw it up on the screen here for folks. But it was the first, like, designed for native usage on Chrome OS. And when we announced that it was in beta, it's now out. But I'm totally blanking on the name. So sorry about that, folks. I'll put it up on the screen. All right. As we said, Google starts letting the public test generative AI in Gmail and Docs. I'm really looking forward to this. Anybody who's listening over at Google, please, I'd love for you to reach out and give us access to it so that we can start playing with it. I did get access to some of the Google Cloud AI generative stuff, but that's not going to help us here. So again, it's a very small trusted tester program. It spans consumers, enterprise, and education users over 18 in the United States. They specified this small group was invited to join by Google. So, and even those who are invited must sign up and opt in and so on and so forth. So it's probably not just 12 people, like I said before. I was joking, but it is probably a very small team. And this is par for the course for Google. This is how they often roll out new products. They just don't often talk about it this much. But given that the development here has, or at least the publicity around development is whoever owns the news cycle lately on announcing new products. So this is a little bit more in the public eye before it's ready for prime time.
Yeah, it was announced back in July last year that this would be coming. So it's taken about a year, almost a year.
That's par for the course for Google's big design changes I'm seeing here. Feels like it for me anyway. More information on the details of what you're going to be able to do with generative AI rivaling Microsoft is a Verge article. Google announces AI features in Gmail, Docs, and more to rival Microsoft, and similar video here to the one that is over on the new Workspace homepage, or it could be the same one. No, I don't think so. It's really well put together, and I hope it works as well as the design here shows, but essentially you're going to be able to use generative AI for creating images in your presentations, for example. It shows you creating Google Slides and just having it all come together really nice and easily with your own custom imagery. Now, again, custom is based on, you know, trained on what data and whose artwork, I don't know, but that's something for lawyers and artists to fight over in the years to come. I will say that I did use a similar feature in Canva, which is what I use for my graphic design for the show and thumbnails and things like that. And one of the topics in SaaS Showdown that is going to be on this week's show, I wanted to have some kind of a definition and, you know, put it up on a thumbnail. And I basically put the name in their assistant and I hit expand and it gave me a list of 10 items that were all elements of this particular topic, and I just put it up on the screen. I mean, I checked a few of them to make sure that it was actually legit, and if you listen to the episode, you'll know that they are. But, you know, hey, that saved me 20 minutes of research or, you know, writing from listening to the episode and trying to put all this together myself, and, you know, with one click, it was basically done. So I'm very excited to see this type of concept and work come to Google Workspace. Some more examples that they have here is that you're going to be able to draft, reply, summarize, and prioritize your Gmail. You'll be able to brainstorm, proofread, write, and rewrite in Docs. You'll be able to bring your creative vision to life with auto-generated images, audio, and video in Slides, so that should be fun. You'll be able to go from raw data to insights and analysis via auto-completion, formula generation, and contextual categorization in Sheets. And I think that that's going to be a really cool one to help people who are not necessarily Sheets wizards to be able to wield some of the more powerful tools of those who are, and to learn more about how to do that. And then, you know, like everyone says, oh, it's taking over our jobs, taking over this and that. It's like, well, yeah, it is, but it's not, because it is allowing you to become more of an expert without having to do a lot of the busy work, you know, that normally takes so much time. So we can debate the merits of it later. Anyway, more screenshots and whatnot in this article below, so definitely go and take a look at that. And if you're starting to get sick of us talking about AI, too bad, because that train is just continuing to roll on, and it will completely dominate our discussions probably for the next year, 2 years, until it becomes, you know, normal. Like, we talk to our Google Assistants, and it's relatively normal, but years ago, that was crazy. And speaking of Google Assistant, fun segue there, Ars Technica article that says Google Assistant might be doomed. The division is reorganizing to focus on Bard. Now, I don't think it's doomed. In fact, I think this is fantastic news. This is the best news I've heard from this yet, except for all the Gen apps coming to Google Workspace. But I've been saying this from the beginning, is, you know, conversational AI is great in text. Look what ChatGTP is doing. Look at what Bard is doing. Why can't I talk to my Google Assistant like this? Why is talking to a virtual assistant so freaking frustrating and useless for anything short of math, the weather, or setting a timer? That's literally all I use my assistants for, and maybe turning on the lights, but even that, it gets wrong half the times. And that's across Google and Amazon and everybody, and it's just Siri, like, it's terrible. So I'm really, really hoping that this will give birth to some better improvements in working with and talking to Google Assistant here. And I'm trying very hard not to say the wake word to save all of your devices from waking up. And
what would you want to be talking to Google about?
Everything that you would write into Bard or ChatGTP, you should be able to speak to the assistant. Should be feature parity there. Like, this is not... Conversational AI took off in popularity and exploded because you could have a real conversation and get real solid information that's more than just a here's, you know, a sentence about it and look for the rest online here in an interface that maybe sometimes sends it to your phone if you're lucky and you have all the right accounts set up, you know, correctly. And, you know, this could be a proper assistant as opposed to just a, you know, half useless, I don't know. I can't even describe what it you know, kind of is now. It's like talking to a kindergartner. My kindergartner has better conversations with me than my Google Assistant. So I'm very excited to see, you know, more of this come in and hopefully build that out more. And you know, Google, I imagine, recognizes, just like other companies do, that their virtual assistants are pretty terrible. So, you know, Microsoft is, I'm sure, working on it, you know, with what do they call theirs? Did they kill theirs? I don't even remember. I lost track, honestly. I know that Siri has been making... bring back Clippy. There we go. I know that Siri has been making, or that Apple has been making some purchases in terms of, in the form of companies that will be able to boost Siri's capabilities. And I think that they realize that Siri is kind of the, you know, the redheaded stepchild that has just been ignored and whatnot for years as they focus on other areas. But I hope that, you know, the advancements that are happening now in AI are going to just give our virtual assistants the superpowers that we all dreamed of when they were announced. I mean, Alexa, oops, I said that one, because that's her name, you know, was a revolution. Siri was a revolution. Google was a, hey, me too, but hey, this is really awesome. And, you know, it just never panned out. So I'm really hoping that this will breathe more life into the platform. This will be the second coming of virtual assistants, and it'll actually be a proper virtual assistant. I mean, Google showed off a whole bunch of stuff, like being able to make phone calls for us and make appointments for us. Why can't the assistant do that? Why can't we have those kinds of conversations with the assistants? That's what I'm looking for. You know, just full, real assistant. Anyway. Last but not least, for anybody who uses Workspace, which I imagine all of you do because you're listening to our show here, which is exclusively about Workspace and a few other things, Google is named a leader in Forrester Data Security Platforms Wave. Duh. We know that already, but it's nice to be recognized. And so article here on Google Cloud blog that talks about the fact that Google is being awarded for being a leader in the space for data security platforms. And that's reassuring because we all have a tremendous amount of information on Google's platforms. So glad to see that their investments in security and technology are continuing to pay off and keeping us safe. Whew, 45 minutes recorded. All right. That's all for this week. Send us your questions and comments on Twitter at Workspace Recap on our website, workspacerecap.com. Hit the subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, leave your comments, you know what to do. Have a great week, and we'll see you all next week on Workspace Recap.